It's the hard line. It's Thursday, which means we have a special guest for our e-news and for the segment after, because it's Rant Revival Thursday. So let's say hello to Rated Rookie himself, the great Gordon.
I wore this shirt especially for you, Bob, because you always make fun of me and really hurt my feelings.
You have to have like seven of those, right?
No, sadly enough. I do have multiples of most of my shirts.
Yeah.
Because
you would steal them from a box like I would. I had multiple Ronins.
Yeah. But this Rated Rookie one is the only one I have. So when you see me wearing Rated Rookie, it's the same shirt as you saw the last time.
You just make me think of Donruss and Gordon. Hey, Don. Let's stop down for a little bit of
News View,
which is brought to you by
WindowNation.com and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here with Don is Corby Davidson of the Dagger.
And he is the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
For his first time trying to deliver e-news.
That's right. Taylor Swift finished six nights at SoFi Stadium outside of Los Angeles. 100,000 people every single night. The first leg of her tour is over with. Of course, we knew that she handed out $100,000 bonuses to her crew, including truck drivers who said that they were so shocked by it. Multiple truck drivers said that they handed their wives the check for $100,000 and they're openly weeping. You know, I mean, she's a really good gal. And she also was bringing in every night. Okay, so I'll let you guys guess. You may have seen this, Gordon. In ticket sales each night.
Okay.
It was estimated she was bringing in how much?
In ticket sales, not counting merchandise?
Ticket sales.
$8 deal.
No, Mike, it's not $8.
I'm going to guess $2 million.
Bob,
is that high?
I was going to guess $5, but then I was going to ask if that was high.
$14.
Holy mackerel.
And she played six straight nights in L.A.?
Yeah. She has...
Wow. Did she make $1 billion this summer?
She did not. Well, she might have.
She did.
She did?
Yeah, she, okay, so.
She did not make $1 billion this summer.
Okay. She does not make $50 billion.
Yeah, Norm. Norm and Mike are going at it. So she has 146 stadium dates that go well into 2024, which will be the end of the tour. And that means the tour will make around $1.5 billion. And that would surpass Elton John's record. Now his is really, really fishy.
Elton John.
Because as Bob can attest to, I think you had tickets to go see Elton John from like the same tickets for like 6 years.
Yeah. I think we were supposed to see him in late 2020, which of course got delayed, and then it got delayed again. I think we ended up seeing him maybe late 2022.
Okay, so he had a 3-year tour, Gilligan, that netted $939 million. So this tour of hers, which will be just over a year, will get her $1.5
billion. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
is that just ticket money?
Yeah, that's just ticket
money.
Not
like merch or anything?
No. No.
That's insane. I don't think you're right on that. That's got to be more than... That's got to include the merch.
You know what I'm reading from?
What?
The New York Times.
Mr. Showbiz.
Ah, the New York Slimes. Right. They lied to you about the Constitution!
So, within all this, within the tour, she had the record of more number one albums on the Billboard 200 over the course of her career than any other woman. This is all while this tour was going on, surpassing Barbara Streisand. She placed 10 albums on the chart this year. This year. And is the first living artist since Herb Alpert in 1966 to have 4 albums in the top 10 at the same time. That's her year, her half year, or whatever the tour's been.
Would you retire if you made $1.5 billion in 1 year?
What is she worth?
You'd never see me again.
One tour?
Like if I was Taylor Swift right now, I'd retire after this tour, and I would get facial reconstruction surgery, so no one would ever recognize me, and I could live in the world. I could move freely in the world.
Oh, okay. I thought you would do it as Gordon Keith. You would get facial reconstruction, but you're saying she should do it as Taylor Swift.
Yes.
I'm saying it's very haughty of you.
If I was her. If I was she. I don't know how you're supposed to say that.
Would you like her net worth?
All right, I'm going to guess. It's got to be...
$40 million.
$750 million.
Yeah, it's got to be... I'm going to say 800.
I'm going to say... No, I'm going to tell you. $740 million.
What in the world? Now you went over. Gordon won.
Yeah, you lose.
Price is Right rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
$1.
Not bad. So by the end of next year, she'll be well over $1 billion in net worth. And she's 33 years old. She's only 33. Do you guys have anybody in your respective clans that are Swifties? Do you know anyone? Nieces? Is
Bob
your daughter?
Is a member of the clan, not me. So.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Maddie was feels about her as she feels about Harry.
Isn't that weird? Is she too young?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Harry Styles or Harry Mountbatten?
Harry Styles.
Harry Cox.
Big Harry Cox.
I do think I'd like to see her show now after all of this. Like, I had zero interest.
Which era would you choose to dress up as?
Probably none, but I think when you get to $1 billion, even those of us who have no interest should at least be interested in tasting the soup to see if they would be the
so
most enjoyable 3 hours of our year.
Up! Can you imagine, though, being able to, okay, how many shows should I play at this 100,000-seat venue? How about six? Let's just set the bar there. They sold out in less than 3 hours.
Yeah, people just... I mean, if I was her and I was getting that much money and I knew it was just guaranteed audience are going to love anything that I do, I would just be lowered from the ceiling while laying on a couch with a heroin needle in my arm. And I just lay there the whole time just feeling heaven
just
in my veins.
Kind of fart in a jar.
And not
every now
do
and then.
Anything.
Fart in a jar.
Every now and then.
Yeah. He was very tasteful about it. Said every now
I'm
and
Layla,
then.
I'm Layla, a missing Baylor player in her interest in federal interest. That's how that's ticker ticker.
And that's just replaying that's on a loop at SoFi.
Yeah.
So she revealed last night in her last show that the next thing that will make $1 trillion for her beyond the tour, the second leg of the tour, is she's re-releasing her famous album 1989. Taylor's version.
My wife woke me up this morning to tell me this.
Exactly.
I did not care.
Wake you up in that special way?
Unfortunately, no. That would have been welcomed.
So, again, she wanted her music back. She wanted to own all of her music. And so she said, all right, I'll just redo every album in a way that it makes it mine.
Yes.
And it's genius. Absolute genius.
Brilliant!
Disney Plus and the Hulu premium plans will now get jacked up a little bit. Do you guys know if you do have Hulu?
Yeah, I double pay for all this stuff.
Because you don't bundle them?
Yeah, there's like I know that...
I don't even know what I have anymore.
I know.
Do you feel like you have subscription chaos?
I totally have subscription chaos, and I complain about this on the morning show a lot, which, by the way, if anyone is
enjoying
this segment now, tune in from 5:30 to 10 a.m.
Boy,
as I'm on
shout out to Bruce Bochy, by the way.
Oh, did you like him?
Dude.
Really enjoyed
I was out of the studio at the time and didn't get a chance to hear it.
I know, but if you have a chance, you should check it out.
Spot on. But
what was his line of meats?
The chili?
Bruce Bochy.
Seven alarm chili.
That's what it was.
I don't even know what I was talking about.
So great.
So Disney Plus premium.
I have so many financial barnacles on my credit card.
Here's the problem.
And I need to go through and eliminate them. You know, that's the key.
Autopay has killed us.
That's the whole thing. All these businesses, they do that. They do that predatory. Here, sign up monthly. We'll just take it out of your credit card. You don't have to bother with
every
time. Yeah, cancel it any time. It's fine.
I know.
But yeah,
something that our parents would be like, "What are you doing?" It's, why are you
it's
doing
smart
this?
Predatory business by corporations and sure. business owners, but it's still it's.
And the
it's
thing
a tough
is, the reason they always have you, and I, you know, we did this segment a handful of years ago whenever Netflix became a thing, and Netflix went from like $6.99 a month to $7.99. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. And then we started asking the question, okay, where is that going to stop? Because they've got you, right?
Right.
So Disney Plus is jumping almost 30% in October from $10.99 to $13.99. Which, again, okay, I can handle $3. But where will it stop?
Yeah, well, they'll keep pushing the line. They keep bending that line. Okay, well, if you'll pay 13, I mean, 15's not that much more. And
right.
And, of course, they keep incrementally adjusting it. And then pretty soon you're at 25,
and
which
then,
you would not have made the decision to go from
no.
10 to 25.
No.
But they'll just, they have it in their business plan, they'll just up it incrementally.
And Hulu, without ads, will go from $14.99 a month to $17.99 a month. So,
why doesn't someone get together and pass some sort of law, people who are interested in consumers, and say that, hey, you have to opt in every 3 months or 6 months? That you can't just have an indefinite financial barnacle.
Surely they're out there. People what, that care, you mean?
Yeah.
What could
Will you do it?
What sort of deal could I offer you, Corby, to go back to watching ads on your Hulu?
So I did this for a long time, and I did it because my family was trying to watch, or my wife was trying to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like all 23 seasons,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of punishing her.
Oh, yeah.
By having, yeah, right?
Oh,
little
yeah.
outfits and whips.
And take her OTK.
What's that?
Over the knee? Nobody else knows this? Okay. Sorry.
That's a very fancy word in there over there, Corby.
Nobody? Is anybody? Okay.
But I had ads.
Domestic discipline.
And so it would take her like an hour to watch one episode, 21 minutes. Giving her such a smack.
And let me just say, as somebody who watches ads on Hulu, they've got some interesting clients.
They do.
It's products you don't necessarily see on traditional television.
Okay, so we...
Like what?
Like a lot of things.
Like...
Thanks for narrowing it down.
Hamster tampons.
Generic.
They're anyway, just
stop the show.
Is there a market for that?
Well, that's...
Do you have to insert it, or is this a...
They do not have ads for...
Corby, they do not have ads for hamster tampons. Mary Bear, do they have hamster?
What in the world?
So,
never heard that phrase.
Think
you
about
haven't?
It this,
huh?
No, I've not.
I'm trying to figure out, and I know I can't. It's just math, and it's too hard, and I can't do it, so I'm not going to try. Anyway, just
you gave it the old effort there.
Just get ready to be paying more money, and you're going to do it. Oh, I know what it was. So Disney Plus.
Yeah.
We hear all the time about, oh, Disney's, they're just such financial disrepair, and how are they ever going to make this quarter bigger, and why are they laying off 10 million people and all that? So,
10 million people.
It's like we're reading the business page, isn't it, Gordon?
Yeah.
$14.
Corby's dedication to accuracy, just always.
$14 a month now. They have, Ty, 140 million subscribers, I believe.
Yeah. Sounds great.
How do they lose money? How do you possibly lose money?
Guess they have a bunch of production deals. They do.
Okay.
Like once every 30 days you get all that money.
Yes.
You don't even have to wait once a year. It's once every 30 days.
I don't get it. Oppenheimer has now made $600 million globally. Hmm. The movie that Donovan did not know what it was about yesterday.
He'd not heard enough about it to piece together what the story was.
He had no idea. He thought Oppenheimer was just this guy.
Just some random guy?
Yeah, that wore nice tweed suits.
All right, so has everyone in this room seen it?
No.
Okay.
I have not. Don't spoil it.
I want to.
Can we tell you whether or not the bomb goes off?
Damn it. It's wonderful, right?
No disrespect.
I'm just warning you. Do not say anything negative about it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I didn't.
Gorn!
I know.
Idiot!
It's like,
oh no.
There were all these P1s that apparently were involved in the production of it, and I had no idea, and
it's
I stepped
an hour
right into
too
it.
Long.
Do not say that, or you're going to get me in trouble again.
Yeah, it was Gordon saying all that.
Gordon told me that off air.
The
confidence.
All right, let's do the rant revival.
I'm going to confide in you something. You better not share it on the air.
Do not turn right around. Put this out on E! News.
Let's do the rant revival and talk about why our childhood was haunted.
Yeah, 518. Whoa. It's 518 here on the Hardline. We have the rant revival going. Now, keep in mind, in 15 minutes, Joel Klatt will be on the show.
Joel Klatt.
And he said Gordon better be out of there by then.
Yeah.
So let's get moving.
Yeah, we're enemies.
All right, so on today's Rant Revival, I want to discuss why... Oh, a sponsor. Sorry, Ham.
Eatsy's Marketing Bakery and American Leak Detection.
Thank you, Eatsy's. So why our youth was haunted. Childhood was haunted in many ways. And I think growing up in the 70s, especially as a small child, we were subjected to things that decade that I don't think any ensuing decade was. Now, yeah, you've had horror movies that have gotten progressively gorier and the like, but, and maybe the psychological aspect of the films have been stretched as well. But I think pound for pound, what we were not forced to watch or consume, but we're just a part of by osmosis. And because there was no cable television, it was just, everything was just there for all to watch, that we had it the worst. And I heard you the other day talking about Gordon the Loch Ness Monster saga.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you.
I was haunted by any episode of In Search Of.
Absolutely.
Any Leonard Nimoy narrated.
But yet you.
Bigfoot, Bermuda Triangle, Loch Ness Monster.
But yeah. You watched them all.
I know. I don't know why my parents did. My parents also let me watch some made-for-TV miniseries about Wayne Williams, the Atlanta child abductor.
Everything. I sat there and watched everything with my parents, and it was probably different for you as a little bitty kid because you didn't have a TV.
Y'all just had
you?
To watch David and Goliath all the time.
Yeah. Not again.
We all have our methods, though, to find ways to that type of thing. Yeah, it's you guys just described the two things that we were most obsessed with, and I don't know what age it is, but very quickly, it's things that may or may not exist that terrify us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And serial killers.
Right. Yeah. And they were everywhere. Child abduction.
And by the way, that still goes on. My kids, when they were in high school, you turn around and they're watching a documentary about some serial killer or reading a book. I mean, it's just, you're like, how did we get here?
Hey, isn't true crime like one of the most popular genres there is?
By
maybe
a mile.
The most, yeah, for sure. But the Loch Ness Monster in particular, I knew it was far, far away in another country, but it still freaked me out so much, that grainy footage that they supposedly had from the 30s that was proven to be a fake. But at the time, we didn't know that as kids. Mm-hmm. We just thought everything was real, right?
That's right.
And that scared me to death as far as going into any lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Did it you?
Oh, yeah. I remember being scared to take a bath when I was a little kid because of Jaws.
Yeah.
Somehow I was convinced that drain isn't that secure to keep out sharks.
Right. And then, and
stupid. And Piranha.
Okay.
Was another big one in my youth.
That there
was also
huge.
A grizzly bear movie that came out.
Yes. I mean, so we went from Jaws in 1975 to Piranha in 1977 or 78.
Filmed in San Marcos.
And Sideshow Bob, noted P1. One of the stars of the film, or at least one of the extras in the movie.
You're kidding me.
Did you
really?
Know that?
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Sideshow Bob was in that. So, and Piranha is about a summer camp where some sort of African piranha was released into the lake, right? Like,
there was a holding tank. I watched this thing like 5 years ago, but I don't remember all the details of it. And the piranha somehow got into Ocarina Springs down there in San Marcos and started chewing up all the teenage girls. And,
yes, and just blood. The amount
well,
of,
yeah, they were teenage girls.
Hamster tampon. So.
What?
There.
You don't just have to blurt that out.
There were.
Welcome to sports, Bob.
There, seriously, though, that scared me. I didn't want to go in the ocean because of Jaws. I didn't want to go into a lake because of the Loch Ness Monster and Piranha. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to summer camp because of Piranha.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pet a dog because of Cujo.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Like, we were subjected... animals gone wild.
Has anybody ever seen it? Have you ever seen an alligator go?
What about when you heard that a snake could emerge from your toilet?
Yeah, that was another very frightening prospect.
There was a movie called...
And all this dovetailed with the fact that my mother also parented through fear. My mom was the biggest fear monger in the world.
Most moms were, I think, back then. And then, not to mention, we had to deal with films that focused on the Antichrist, which...
Hey, guys.
Hi, Auntie.
You want some cross cookies?
She's the best Auntie.
No, we don't want cross cookies.
Right? Like, and I, for whatever reason, why did I watch The Omen at the age of 10?
I don't know.
Why did I watch The Exorcist then?
You know, that's all. We grew up in the time of devil worshippers in the woods, too.
I know.
Every wood that was near your home was full of devil worshippers.
And we were convinced of that. Mm-hmm. And our moms convinced us in our heads that you don't want to go in those woods.
There's devil worshippers in there.
That's where they do their magic.
No, that is. You're right, Mom.
That's where they do their magic. And that's got a K on the end of it.
Not to mention the most friendly of all the monsters out there, Bigfoot.
Which, oh, man. I don't know about friendly.
Well,
I was so scared of Bigfoot.
I was, too.
I was more scared of Bigfoot than all those other monsters.
So would you ever go...
I still haven't ruled him out.
Would you ever go camping with your family and think that...
No! One time, I've told this story before, but the thing that scarred me so bad in my youth was watching that two-parter on $6 Million Man where Steve Austin battled Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Portrayed by Andre the Giant.
That's yes. Right. And one other guy, too. There were two different guys who played Bigfoot in those episodes, I think. Anyway, I was very frightened by that. And one time, we were staying with my grandmother in the summer, and I got into some disagreement with her.
No way.
And so I was going to run away.
Is this when you got kicked in the balls?
No. And so I started to run away. And I made it down to the end of the driveway, and she opened up the door and called out to me, and she said, "Hey, just be careful out there. They spotted Bigfoot up on Northside Drive. Just saw it on the news in here. Just be careful." And I turned around and came straight back in. She knew the exact card to play.
Wow.
It was the Bigfoot card.
They just spotted Bigfoot
and she had just seen it on the local Jackson, Mississippi news.
Right. Yeah.
So the thing that I can't really put into context with my kids, I mean, I'm bad and I'm stereotyped for letting my kids watch Step Brothers and things like that. I get that. Not the best father in that regard. But
in all regards.
To sit around
your kids.
I know. To sit around the family TV room and watch things like The Stepford Wives, which I did in the mid-70s. It's not me. It's my parents. We just, again, if it was on TV, then it was okay.
I know. Putting somehow it on my TV, parents had the same idea.
I mean, look, we sat down, and I know this was part of, this was the ultimate 70s TV touchstone, but we all sat around and watched the 7-part miniseries Roots.
Right.
I don't think that.
How can a kid comprehend that at 7?
Man, it's horrifying. Obviously.
I remember,
"Hey, kids, come on in here. The burning bed's about to be on. It's Farrah Fawcett."
Yes.
Which was about domestic violence and her killing him by torching him while he's asleep.
Right. Anything was fair game.
"I made cheese sandwiches. Get in here.
The bed's burning now.
Hurry, he's going to burn up before you see it."
Everything was fair game. And I don't know how we all came out of it. I guess maybe we didn't come out of it well adjusted.
No. Yes, the psychological trauma that we suffered as children eventually gave birth to the ticket.
Pretty much, right?
Yes, this is all of our way of coping with childhood trauma.
Proving
is to make
all
a damn joke about everything.
Work together for good.
Even at like 13 when the TV miniseries V came on. Do you remember V?
Oh,
dude.
Is that about
V? That was
no. It's
awesome.
Not. Stop it's doing not, that with your hands. No, no
that V.
That was a
whole... scarred me too when they ripped off part of the face and you see the reptilian skin.
That was a
eating guinea pigs and
that rocked the boat.
Yes, they would. But, they would crack their jaws open and eat like eat like a full pig or something like that.
I remember there being like some hot women on that show.
There were.
It was great. It was like an invasion thing, and they looked like humans. Before. But then somebody tore their face off, and they were lizards.
Oh my gosh!
All right,
all in there.
Yes.
How about every one of us? Every single one of us sitting around the television as a family and watching The Day After. Yeah. About nuclear holocaust.
I know.
Because
that
we were already
the hell out of me.
We were already at war basically with Russia in our heads. And then they came out with this movie saying,
didn't that start Jason Robards?
It did. Yes.
Easter Island statue of a looking guy.
Yes, it did. So how about while we're all in this giant scare over nuclear war, let's just make a movie about it and market it to families.
Yeah.
That this is what's going to happen when the bomb does go off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what were we doing?
Bob, did you see anything traumatic when you were a kid?
V rocked my world a little bit, but we were probably in high school by then.
V maybe. Was earlier than that.
I don't know.
V was junior high.
Was it? Yeah, okay.
But he's a little bit younger than us.
Yeah, but he was in high school when V came out.
Yeah.
We were in junior high.
No, it'd go the other way, guys.
Other direction.
I mean, I think a lot of that was in my kitchen a little bit. Poltergeist was right there.
Now, see, that's a weird one because we used to watch Poltergeist over and over again.
Right.
And me and my sister would do all the lines to it. We'd act it out.
Wouldn't that be rated R now? And it was just PG.
Yeah, it was just PG. They didn't even have PG-13 back in the day.
Really, anything with demon stuff got in my head. Man,
you didn't watch Exorcist, though, did you?
No, I avoided that to this day.
Have you seen the original Omen?
I think...
No.
Don't you think Exorcist is scarier than Omen?
I think Omen pound for pound is better. There are scarier moments in the Exorcist.
All right, I need to revisit Omen, because I don't... What is... I don't know if
what was the one
Omen.
Just from, like, 2005?
Blair Witch Project?
No, yeah. After that. Paranormal. Paranormal Activity?
You're thinking of Paranorman?
Yeah, Paranormal Activity.
Dude, the first one?
Eh.
Is it good?
I was scared.
Really?
And I was like 30.
Hey, you know which, there was one that I thought was really good.
Because there was a demon in their house and the girl, right? The wife or something? Or like it got to her.
I don't know.
It was bad. I was scared. I would not go into a sequel.
One that I saw it was during the pandemic and I thought it was very inventive and also pretty dang good was the one where they're doing it all over Zoom. You know what I'm talking about? Has anybody seen this? It was a streaming movie. It came out on streaming because during the pandemic.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I thought
about.
It was really good.
I think.
What's it called?
Host?
I think, Host. I think maybe that's it.
And it cost $80 to make or something? Yeah.
Okay, Corby, once again, undershooting on that, but yes.
They didn't even do catering.
It cost $100,000.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It did not cost.
I thought that was good.
So we had to battle monsters. Fictional, real, whatever they were. We had to battle the devil. We had to battle every animal that was turning against humanity.
Yep. Serial killers,
child abductors.
Mm-hmm. Lizards from outer space.
Moonies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Moonies.
Yes.
Man, my mom would diagnose someone as a Moonie so quickly. We'd be driving along and, hey, look at that man over there. And said, don't look at him. He's a Moonie. What's Moonie? Just don't associate.
Everybody was a Moonie. They were. All right, Gordo. Thank you very much.
Also, she always installed a fear of pools to us. Don't if you got near a pool, you would instantly become a vegetable. We'd scrape. She would always tell us that she would have to scrape us off the bottom.
Just for
being near the pool. Because we would fall in, we would drown,
right.
And then she would have to scrape us off the bottom. And even if you lived, you'd be a vegetable.
So extreme, Mom. Let's dial it back a little bit here.
All right, there you go. There is the rant revival.
Yay!
Thank you, Gordo.
Hey, I'm not sure if I'm twitching tonight. I got a family coming in from out of town.
Okay.
So not sure we're promoting it.
Yes. So I just want to
maybe promotion.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. All right.